This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm wearing a zip-up sweatshirt. That's how we start this program. Top story. That's what I'm wearing. For those who might be watching on Roku, you know it. You see it. You admire it. For those who are listening, you now have a word picture painted for you here on this program. On Coast to Coast on the Roku channel, and then, of course, around the world if you are listening to us on terrestrial radio or Sirius XM or Odyssey or our podcast. We love hearing from those who listen to our podcast. Our show account just retweeted an individual who we greatly appreciate because he says we get him through his overnights.
Hey, now.
We love it. We love people listening to our podcast. Please subscribe and you listen to all 3 hours whenever you're darn well pleased. It's your right. Good to have anybody out there watching, listening to call in. 844-204-RICH being the number dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you over there, Christopher. How are you?
Hey, Rich. It's the last day of Movember.
Yes, it is.
Get a good look.
Before we pour one out. Rich Eisen Show. A stoppage time expert, Mike Del Tufo, is here. Good to see you, Mike.
It was 8 minutes in the last match on the.
Good description. Good description. It was 8 minutes of stoppage time on Tunisia just beating France, but unfortunately, Tunisia did not get the results elsewhere in Group D, and Australia moves on. For those who are tuning into our show for your World Cup up-to-the-minute update, good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle, brother.
It's lit, and it's good to be seen. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know that. Good to have everybody here on
What's
this
up,
program.
Everybody?
Desmond Howard, one of my favorite human beings on the planet. There have been a handful of people who have made my life so enjoyable.
Outside of us in this room?
I'm talking about people who I root for and watch.
Yeah, like us.
No, who I root for, and they make me so happy based on the result of their either collegiate or professional football games being played.
Oh, okay. So I guess intramurals.
My gosh, you really want
me
to drill down, TJ?
I had the Point Park intramural flag football record for two-point conversions.
I had no idea you were so needy.
You know, just saying.
So Desmond Howard from Soup to Nuts has just made me so thrilled. Other people have made me thrilled. Charles Woodson, Derek Jeter, I would say, are up on that list.
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is on that list. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I had to name a top five people who have made my Reggie Jackson.
Top five real quick.
Top five people who have made my life so enjoyable from their sporting exploits?
Yes.
Top five, I'd go... Jeter. God, what's the matter with you people?
I'm asking a little.
Can I talk for crying out loud?
I'm sorry, Rich.
All you needy people.
Don't look at me.
I know.
Chris Brockman.
So top five. I've got Reggie Jackson. I would go Woodson. I would go Jeter. I would go Judge and maybe Desmond Howard.
Okay. What about Mattingly?
Could be number one. Oh, Mattingly. Oh,
I see, Rich. I
need
got
one more. At any rate, yeah. Desmond's on this program. Oof. Lots to talk about with him. We'll revisit his prediction prior to the season.
It was not great.
Except he did predict Michigan to win it all, and that's still alive. Everything else has taken seven bullets like the Don.
Everything else has taken bullets.
Texas A&M, Pitt, and Baylor were his other choices.
I mean, they're having decent seasons.
But
right?
let's talk about an actual current four from the College Football Playoff Committee. They have spoken. And the College Football Playoff Committee going into conference championship weekend. Say Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU 3, USC 4. And then all-important fifth position. Yep. Because one would think that's the first team in. If there's one that trips up and merits being kicked out of the top four, that would be The Ohio State University. And they just went straight up, it looks like, win-loss record. That's it. Except for the fact that one would think they'd have put Tennessee above Alabama, since Tennessee actually has beaten Alabama. We do recall that was Alabama's first loss, and I think that is part and parcel, one would say, just in case there's a total complete meltdown and they decide to swap out for some reason, three teams out of the top four.
I also think Hendon Hooker being out.
That's the one, I guess. So, but it shouldn't matter. I mean, it's win-loss, win-loss. Unless you think this is a situation where you want to have a team in that is gives you the best level of competition. And in that regard, the College Football Playoff Committee believes, I guess, that the Ohio State will give a better game to anybody else than Alabama. Now, I'll just say this. Georgia loses to LSU. They're still in. Maybe not one.
Maybe not one, but they're still in.
They're still in. Yep. Michigan loses to Purdue. They're still in.
Yep.
Maybe not two. TCU loses to Kansas State. Are they out?
I think by putting them three, they're probably still in.
Now, that's where I would have the issue. And you could say the same thing to US about USC as well. And this has nothing to do with Ohio State being five. Pardon me. Let me rephrase that. This has nothing to do with the Ohio State being five. I want to be respectful of a team that might be coming back from the dead. Because if USC trips up against Utah and loses for the second time this season against the Utes for two losses, but against just one team, it looks like that's where the Ohio State just sitting on its couch, licking its wounds from a 22-point home thumping in the game. They'll just come right in. And we're assuming they'll get their players who were hurt against Michigan back. And they'll be better in the college football semifinal than the team that just got thumped at home. They'll be healthier. And if TCU loses to Kansas State, maybe Ohio State takes that spot too. If both of them lose, does Ohio State and Alabama both pop up and take 3 and 4? And the question I have for the committee, and anyone else out there, please call 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Why should TCU and USC get punished for playing in their conference championship game? Something that the Ohio State and Alabama did not reach. Just a question to be asked. And I would still be asking it if Michigan was the one on the outside looking in. I would proffer to say Michigan wouldn't be sitting there at five if Michigan was the one who lost by 22 in that game. Let's just be blatantly honest here. This College Football Playoff Committee would have punished Michigan much harder than they punished Ohio State. Because for some,
you don't know that.
That's
you
a
don't know
fact. That is a
come
fact.
On. Come on, Rich. You don't know that.
I do know that.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Your AD's on the committee.
I do. It doesn't matter.
You're not getting. Now, come on now. That's unfair.
I do feel that way.
Tell about your feelings.
It is my feelings.
I have a question for you real quick.
The disrespect. I mean, Michigan was the one touchdown underdog despite being defending Big Ten champs going into that game?
You know, do I need to explain to you why you were
touchdown understand. Underdog? No, I do understand that because Michigan's not as good as Ohio State.
Is there a chance these two can meet again?
Dude.
I mean, here's the deal. Yes, there is a big time chance that these two teams meet again. Because if Kansas State wins and Utah wins and the College Football Playoff Committee decides to swap out half of its current four, you'd see Ohio State three, wouldn't you?
Three, though?
Yeah, probably three. Yeah.
Above Alabama.
Oh.
They currently are.
Or you just put TCU down to four and put Ohio State three.
Three.
Sure.
And run it back in the college football semifinal.
Ohio State, by putting them five, like we said, they're in position if one of these teams falter to get in there.
So why don't you answer the question that I asked then, the original one. Why should a team be penalized for playing in their conference championship game and losing in it?
Because you lost.
I know. All three teams would have been coming off of a loss.
But the thing is,
Ohio
with
State
the thing
and
with
those
USC
other two.
Though is Rich is that would be the second loss to Utah.
Right.
whereas Ohio State still only has one loss.
Okay. So then put TCU in that mix then. But TCU would, loses to Kansas State. Should it be supplanted by Ohio State?
Probably not. TCU top to bottom has been a really good team this year, really strong. Big 12 not as strong, but
what do you think? You got to take a stand, TJ.
I don't know.
That's not an acceptable answer.
Well, the thing is, I don't.
You're on the college football committee. Congratulations. I just made you a college football playoff. That's what we got to do here. That's what you got to do.
I think the pressure is all on USC to stay number four.
Friday night, Las Vegas, Nevada.
So they have to win, they're in, and then that's your four. I think it's locked in.
Right? Who is favored in that game, Chris?
Who's favored in the game? I think USC is a 2.5-point favorite.
Even though they've already taken an L to them already, right?
Well, on the last play of the game, on a 2-point
conversion.
When did those
guys, when did they play? Like a month ago, right?
No, they played mid-season.
Well, that would be a month ago.
I kind of, at this point, I think I, just for the storyline purposes, I'm down for anything that gets Ohio State and Michigan. So maybe we could see a run back one more time.
Well, if that's the case, then I want Alabama back in, just so it's Georgia, Alabama, USC, Michigan, and let's have some fun. But I think USC deserves to be in the playoff with the season they've had. They have the Heisman Trophy winner. They got a new coach. The luster, the celebration, it's back. USC, West Coast football. It'd be really cool to see them in the Final Four.
I'm willing to take phone calls on this very subject. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the program. And Desmond Howard will get his opinion on this. You know, what does he have to say? Mina Kimes is in studio in the middle of our program. We'll talk National Football League with the NFL Live co-host and analyst and podcaster from the worldwide leader in sports. She was here in September, I believe, so it's good to have a return visit.
Wonder how she's feeling about her Hawks.
Patrick Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings taking on Mike White and the New York Jets.
QB1.
Mike White, the only Jet quarterback in the last 30 years. Have three touchdowns and 300-yard games in multiple contests.
Man, if only somebody would have predicted that.
How about that?
Mike White needs the next Jets home game. Let's just say the Jets beat the Vikings. Okay?
You know what? I like where you're going with this.
Let's just say the Jets
Where's
beat the Vikings.
Where's my schedule here?
It could happen.
Are they, Mike Hoskins, could you throw up the Jets schedule? Are they home? Are they home in week 14? What is the Jets' schedule, Rich? Because I need Mike White, if they beat the Vikings, to show up at home. Yeah, they're at Buffalo. Go ahead. It's good, because it's going to be cold there. Show up at Buffalo, get off the bus wearing the Namath fur coat. That's what I need.
Oh, man.
I need Mike White, who just dominated the Bears, had a 30-point fantasy day, 3 tutties. He's going to beat the Vikings. Mm-hmm. He's going to put on the chains on the flight home. That video is going to go so viral.
Oh, God.
And then we go into Buffalo.
Mike White chains.
Mike White shows up in the Namath fur coat.
Oh, like
let's go.
Great
That's
idea.
What I need.
I'm here for that.
Mike White taking on the Minnesota Vikings in the Dome and then showing up to Buffalo to sweep the Bills. Putting on a fur coat.
That's what I'm saying, Ridge. I need that for you. If I'm going to do a 180 on wanting you to not be sad and be happy now,
you gotta go all in,
then man. I need to go all in on this. And I need you to be peak chestiness with your Jets fandom.
Peak chestiness is a great band,
by
the way.
Roll right in with Mike White in the fur coat.
Peak chestiness is a great band. The Jets then have home games against Detroit Thursday night, against Jacksonville, at Seattle. At Miami to wrap things up.
I mean, seriously, you can be on like a 5-game winning streak going into the last week of the year. Holy smokes. Holy cow.
Mike White, baby.
Mother.
Okay, I like it. I like the cut of your jib, sir.
It's the last day of November.
Here's the deal, though. Mike White will not rock a mink coat, right? He won't rock a fur. So we got to do like an all-white sweatsuit. That seems like something that's probably more.
There it is.
Yeah. I would love to see this. And the pants,
Mike
too?
White showing up in that outfit.
Bottoms.
Yep. If he shows up off the plane in Buffalo wearing that.
I really think, though.
That would be great.
You got to go to a playoff game to pull this off, though.
No,
if he
don't.
Does this regular season, that could backfire.
By the way, pop that photograph back up one more time. That's Shea Stadium, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that the old Shea?
Because of the big scoreboard in the background.
Hold on, isn't that the old Shea scoreboard right
yes,
there?
Yes, that's the big Shea Stadium.
But why would Joe be not playing?
Post, it might have been after he...
I don't know. Is that the old Shea? It's,
was he, I mean...
The old Shea Stadium? I don't know.
Could have been like his, like the...
Joe Witty. That,
Mike White, baby.
Who can do that?
Goals.
Mike White can.
Mike White goals.
Life goals.
Life goals.
I do love it.
Urquhart, let's go.
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's talk about what the College Football Playoff Committee did. Do you agree with it? Do you think it needs to be tweaked? Desmond Howard, everybody. Heisman Trophy winner, Super Bowl MVP. That's quite the double dip, don't you think? Coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we get to set our side of the bed to exactly how we like it, the firmness, and then, of course, there's also the temperature aspect of it. Did you know 8 out of 10 couples say one of them sleeps too hot or too cold? So look for beds designed with temperature benefits, such as the new Sleep Number Climate 360 Smart Bed that actively warms and cools on each side so both of you sleep blissfully comfortable. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because to be your best every day, you need proven quality sleep every night. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Eisen. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details or go to sleepnumber.com/Eisen.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
And we're free now to turn to our phone line and find one of my favorite people on the planet. The Super Bowl MVP and Heisman Trophy winner, and he is a delight to watch on the worldwide leader in sports, talking college football and more. Right here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Desmond Howard. How you doing, Des?
Oh, Rich, I tell you what, I'm doing fantastic, my friend. And thanks for having me, man. I've been looking forward to speaking with you all week. So this is a great pleasure for me.
That is music to my ears. Right back at you. So what do you think of the College Football Playoff Committee's decision last night, 1-6? What do you think?
Well, I don't think there are... I guess many surprises. You know, everyone wanted to see where the Buckeyes will fall after, they get soundly beaten by Michigan Saturday afternoon in Columbus. So everyone wanted to see where would they fall. And, they put them at 5, and so there's an outside chance that they can get in. But if everyone holds serve this weekend, then there's no chance Ohio State gets into the top 4. As a matter of fact, what's really interesting is, if they don't get into the top 4, would the Rose Bowl pick them again for their game, or would they pick Penn State, who's in the top 10, too?
Huh. Well, I mean, yeah. One would think if the results stay, come in on this weekend, Friday night in Vegas, and then TCU versus Kansas State on Saturday, if USC and TCU win, that right. would mean Ohio State and Utah would be once again ready to be matched up in the Rose Bowl. That was last year, and it was a highly entertaining game. But I don't know if that would be something that people would want to see in the Rose Bowl. But we're talking college football semifinal here. The question is, I would have for you, if TCU does in fact slip up to Kansas State, do you think it would be a viable option? And something that the College Football Playoff Committee would do, take a team in Ohio State that would be sitting on its couch off a 22-point beatdown loss at home and supplant a team that performed so well in the regular season it earned the right to play for its conference championship. What do you think?
You know, I tell you what, Rich, I'm going to take you back. For about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I've been asking on our show, College Game Day, and I've asked on other shows too, and I brought it up in the meeting. I said, because the whole conversation was, well, you know, if Michigan loses to Ohio State in a couple of weeks and 3 weeks or whatever at the end of the season, then Michigan's going to be out because they don't like Michigan's non-conference schedule. I'm like, okay, we all get that. We're fine with that. Whatever. But how about the other side, the reverse? If Ohio State loses this game, is this an elimination game for both teams? And no one ever wanted to answer that question. And then Reese Davis, a week ago, presented that same scenario to Boo Corrigan, the selection committee chairperson, and he avoided it. So it just seems like there's this hesitancy to say that Ohio State's out. Like, if there's a backdoor way for them to get in, it seems like they will try to get them in. And that's just the feeling I get, because no one ever wanted to address the flip side of the Michigan-Ohio State game. They're all fine with Michigan losing because, hey, they had such a weak non-conference schedule. There's no way they're going to get in. Okay, we get that. But how about if Ohio State loses at home? We're talking now, let's put it in context, Rich. The Heisman front runner, running back was gone. Blake didn't play. Their other running back played with one hand. The edge rusher, Mike Morris, he was banged up, maybe gave them 10 snaps. The tight end, he was banged up. I mean, if you listen to Pete Thamel before the game, it was like a CVS receipt length of injuries for Michigan. And the flip side was, hey, it's sunny, it's 50 degrees, there's no wind, it's perfect weather for C.J. Strong in this passing game. This is the game. Everyone's talking about Jim Knowles, the new defensive coordinator from Oklahoma State. This is the game that he was brought here for. This defense is so much different than they were a year ago. They're going to show you that. You know, it was like, so everything seemed like it was in Ohio State's favor to go out on that field and smash Michigan. And the reverse happened. So if you're in that committee, it's a college football selection committee room, and you're trying to weigh everything out, it's hard not to look at those other factors, too, when you're splitting hairs about who's going to be in that fourth spot.
So the manner in which Ohio State lost, you think, is a significant subtractor. And even if Kansas State knocks off TCU, TCU should still be in, is what you're saying.
If it's a close game, yeah, if it's a close competitive game, I do believe that TCU should be in. Now, what would the selection committee do? I'm of the belief that they may try to get Ohio State in just because of the fact that they were never, ever willing to say that the Michigan-Ohio State game was an elimination game for both teams. And then, you know, we know the factors involved, everything that was going into it, and they still end up, you know, losing by 20-plus points on their own field.
I wonder, Desmond Howard, if you want to take a bite at this one, I'll give it to you. It's what we call a spinning curve in the zone. Why do you think everyone was so ready to bury Michigan, and you think everybody is looking for an excuse to resuscitate Ohio State? What do you make of that, Desmond? Why?
That's a really good question, and I really can't. I mean, it's hard for me to place my finger on it. I think that some people, they're turned off, or they've been turned off by the behavior of Jim Harbaugh at times. I think, so when you don't like a coach, then you don't like his team. I mean, outside of that, I mean, we got like a great group of guys when you just listen to them in post-game interviews, the way they conduct themselves, the way they handle themselves, the way they attack their opponents on the field. It's like you have nothing negative to say about those guys. So, I mean, really, outside of that, I don't know. What's your theory? What's your philosophy on this? Because I have no idea why people are so willing to, attack Michigan, but they're unwilling to criticize Ohio State.
Well, I mean, before you came on, I said that if Michigan had lost the game by 22, there wouldn't even be a backdoor available for Michigan. They might have even put Alabama above Michigan. My colleague Chris Brockman across the way called that unfair, right? You said that was an unfair supposition, Chris?
Mitch, everything you say with Michigan and Ohio State is just like it's slanted. So just be objective. Yeah, that's all
I am being objective about it. I a 1,000,000% am being objective about it. As I said going in, I said if it was a close game, I think that both teams should have been in. That's what I was said. Yeah. I said that going into the game, and you know, I would have said the same thing coming out of it. Now that I'm bringing this up, though, you asked me the question. I just think that, again, when Ohio State played Notre Dame, because Notre Dame, I guess, felt it was okay to play Ohio State when Michigan asked to, that schedule got bounced. They took Michigan off their schedule. But long story short, that, yes, the non-conference schedule was weak. But I also think the way that Michigan had played football all year long, it was centered around Blake Corum. Nobody saw coming that J.J. McCarthy could pull off what he did against Ohio State. And I think that they thought that Ohio State was a much more versatile team and that last year was a one-off. That's the other one, too. I thought a lot of people thought last year was a one-off. But I guess, you know, placing all this aside for the moment, are we just rearranging chairs and it's Georgia's world anyway? What do you think, Desmond?
Well, I tell you what, I do agree with you that I think that people believe that last year was a one-off. You know, hey, well, they just had the great edge rushers and Ajabo and Hutchinson, and of course they had that Swiss Army knife and Dax Hill. But they lost all that now, and the coordinator, he's gone. There's no way they're going to be able to repeat that. And now you're talking about them going to the Shoe? Oh, hell no. There's no way they're going to be able to repeat it. So they thought it was a one-off. Now I think they're believers, though. Now I think they believe in the culture that Jim Harbaugh, his assistant coaches, and don't forget, he's on a new set of coordinators because he lost his offensive coordinator and his defensive coordinator from a year ago. And so, but it's the culture there. So now people are starting to say, wow, we get it. Yeah, Georgia's strong, man. Georgia's a team, Rich, that – you know, when they decide to, like, get serious and turn it on, you know, they are very, very talented. And so we've seen them play down to their opponents, I guess, talent level, and we've seen them rise to the occasion of big games. I mean, I was at the Tennessee game, and the score is really no indication of the beatdown that they were really issuing to the Volunteers that afternoon in between the hedges. So very talented. They can rise to the occasion like no other. Really curious to see what happens in this LSU-SEC championship game, because LSU, they come in there now limping, embarrassed. They just dropped a game they should have won to Texas A&M, which is a really, really, you know, team that struggled this season. So I want to, you know, what their mentality is going to be like. And I think it's going to be a better game than people anticipate. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, if LSU had not tripped up to Texas A&M, it's possible. I mean, that the College Football Playoff Committee could have had LSU sitting there at 5 with the right to play in the SEC championship game. That could have been feasible. They might have even popped them in above USC to basically say, if you win, you're in too. Would have been interesting, but unfortunately for LSU and Brian Kelly, that did not happen. I've got Desmond Howard here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who's your Heisman vote going to right now, Des?
Hoo-wee. To me, it's really still open. I need to see these games this weekend, these championship games. And, it's because of the injuries, it's almost like, you know, I don't want to say it's Heisman by default, but you're starting to look for other candidates, because on the ballot you have a first place, second place, and third place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even if you felt as though, okay, well, now because this guy's injured, this guy's injured, I guess I'll put this guy in the first place spot, but you still got second and third place you got to fill too, which almost becomes by default. So it's a very interesting, probably one of the more uneventful Heisman races this season, you know, because our show, we have yet to talk about the Heisman race, which is crazy. We're about to do our last show on Saturday, and we have yet to talk about it. So that lets you know just, like, I guess how uneventful it has been. Now, if Corum didn't get injured in the Illinois game, and if Hendon Hooker didn't get injured in the South Carolina game, then we're talking about a completely different race up to this point. But, I mean, those are guys who are front runners on several ballots going into those games.
So you don't think Caleb Williams is the man, is the guy? I mean, seeing what you've seen out of him, and USC clearly could make the college football playoff. I mean, that run that he just pulled off against Notre Dame, where he gained 40 yards, but he really ran 80 yards in doing it, was eye popping. Is he not the default guy right now? You don't think?
There are people who are putting him in the number one pole position, but I think the people just don't really respect TCU enough to look critically at Max Duggan. I think Max Duggan is having a magical season. I think that people aren't really paying much attention to him. It's almost like, you know, like the college football selection committee, right, the playoff selection committee, when the initial rankings came out, I believe they had, like, TCU, like, at 7 or something like that, and they had Clemson at 4. Now, from a football judgment standpoint, there's no way in hell you would ever put Clemson over TCU this season based on how they've looked on the football field. So I say that because you give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt. And then some people, they just have to really do much more to prove it to you than others. So Caleb Williams is a guy who came into USC with a tremendous amount of hype because of what he did at Oklahoma. And now he's following Lincoln Riley to Southern California. So people are kind of familiar with the name. They're familiar with the style. Lincoln Riley has already had a couple of Heisman winners. So you don't really have to do as much to impress people. Duggan, he's starting from a different spot in people's minds. So he has to do more. You know, Sonny Dykes at TCU, they have to do more. Like, they really had to, you know, go out there and prove it week in and week out for them to be where they are as far as in the college football rankings at number 3, and for Max Duggan to be, considered a Heisman finalist too. But Max Duggan, when you look at what he's done, what he means to that team, and what he's taken that team, and Rich, he wasn't even a starter at the beginning of the season. Like, he has, like, this fascinating story. But when he didn't win the starting job, he was like, listen, I'm going to be the best teammate and the best backup I can be. I'm not going to sit here and bitch and moan and complain and talk about I want to go to the transfer portal. I'm going to be that guy that's going to help my team in the position I am, whether it's a backup or not. And then he got the nod to be the starter after the starter got injured, and the rest is history.
So if he has a good performance against Kansas State, he might get your vote. What you're saying for Heisman?
He's definitely a strong candidate for the first place vote. Absolutely.
Okay. Before I let you go, Desmond, a moment for us. I don't care. 22 point win for Michigan this past week. Yeah. 25 the year before. Neither of them, however, touched the last biggest victory that Michigan's had over Ohio State. A 28 point margin of victory in your famous Heisman pose game back in 1991. How much crap do you get when you're setting that? What was Saturday like for you before and throughout? Walk me through your Saturday being in Columbus, Ohio, Desmond.
Well, Rich, it's a very strange energy when I'm there. And I just try to, you know, because there's like no other place where I go. And I just try to.
Well, you're from Ohio. You were from Ohio, Desmond. You're from Ohio. You know, that's correct. Right, Desmond?
Born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio.
There you go.
I didn't leave the main streets of Cleveland, Ohio until I went to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
And, I'm a Ohio native.
Yep.
And I just tell you, I started the morning by popping up on the game day desk and staring down the crowd as the boos rained down upon me. That's how I started my Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
And that was me just embracing and just using all of that negativity and channeling my my Wolverine ancestors to help me through these 3 hours I'm about to have to go through with these people just, you know, booing every time they see me on the screen and every time I open my mouth. And I was able to power through it, so to speak, with the help of you know, the Wolverine faithful. So that pretty much sums up the television part. And then the rest, I was on the sideline with your guy. I saw you had Bruce Feldman on the show, too.
Yep.
And I was on the sideline talking to Bruce. And, you know, we pretty much saw the same thing. And one more thing. At halftime, I spoke to David Pollack on the bus, and I said, David, as a Michigan alum, I'm really comfortable with us being down 3 points, or Michigan being down 3 points, mm-hmm. Knowing that they had just taken Ohio State's best shot in that first half. Like, cause to me, Ohio State clearly outplayed Michigan in the first half, and they were only up by 3 points. I said, so going to the second half, our guys, you know, the coaches at Michigan, they make really good adjustments at halftime. I said, so as a Michigan alum, down 3 points in the shoe, based on what I've seen so far in the first half, I'm comfortable with this.
Well, we would have signed for it prior to the game, or certainly after Jim made the decision to kick the ball to them first, put the defense, Michigan's defense, on first, and then Ohio State just, I mean, knife through hot butter their way right down the field. Until Cornelius Johnson made that catch and run on a third down, by the way, that existed because J.J. Made a great throw with a rush right in his face, and the game turned right then and there. Marvin Harrison Jr. is amazing, right? I mean, like, he is as good as they come from what you've seen. And other than that catch, he was pretty much removed from the game. And now fans kind of want Ryan Day removed. Didn't you sort of say that on game day prior to the game? That if that happened, and did Kirk give you a little bit of grief for that, Des?
Well, I mean, I 100% predicted that on game day. I don't know if it's running on any loops around here, but that's exactly what I said. And I said, we and everyone else need to understand that Ryan Day has been talking about the revenge factor, and they were scarred last year and all of this stuff. And I said, well, I would be hesitant to, for lack of a better phrase, put all the eggs in this one basket. Because you've had a great season. Mm-hmm. And once you start to sell to your fans, to your alumni, to your team, that this is everything. And if you happen to stumble, then everybody's going to look at you like your season was a complete failure. And I said, if he loses a second time in a row to Michigan, I said, they're going to want to get Urban Meyer off of that Fox set and have him coach.
That's exactly what happened. However, now the College Football Playoff Committee has spoken. These two teams could face each other again. I mean, that's entirely feasible right now, Des.
Yeah, it's an option. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Okay. I think that the likelihood of them going, being put in a position where they would face Michigan first I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll go to four.
They'd have to play in.
You got Georgia at one.
Got it. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, and then they will have to tussle with Georgia, which would be interesting.
It would be interesting. Desmond, always interesting chatting with you. You the best. Take care of yourself and your family, and let's chat down the road and certainly maybe potentially see each other in Los Angeles. Who knows? Right.
Rich, it's always an honor and a pleasure doing your show. And go blue.
Attaboy. Go blue. Right back at you. Desmond Howard, everybody. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Worldwide Leader in Sports. You guys surprised that Des isn't just saying it's Caleb Williams' statue?
I am a little surprised at that, actually.
Don't sleep on Duggan. Don't sleep on this kid. Well, hell of a story at TCU. Hell of a story.
I think my just favorite thing is the giddiness that you two, while being professional and doing your job, but it's just you can still feel like the giddiness, and that's the kind of thing that I just like and fun.
I'm trying very to temper fun. Myself, certainly, since I can sense Chris's displeasure with each passing syllable that we said to one another.
I would say Desmond's probably just doing the thing. Like, Caleb Williams is minus 3,000 on some sports books, so.
Well, he's got the vote. He has a vote. That guy is part of Heisman House that we've seen.
2,000 other people. I'm just saying.
Isn't that crazy? How many people vote for that?
A lot. A lot.
How many unqualified people are voting for this?
Probably not as many as you'd think.
Who knows, man? I don't have that vote. Will anybody give me a vote? I don't get a vote in my own house.
You just want a vote for anything.
I guess is this the only place I get a vote?
Yeah, but then you got to deal with us.
Yeah, sometimes we outvote you.
We'll take a break.
Power rankings, those are yours.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes. Those are his power rankings.
Yes.
There are many like them.
But this one is mine.
There you go.
And I'm going to give that to you later, everybody. Very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mina Kimes making her way here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Mina.
You know, we're going to also be talking about the U.S. men's national team.
What a game.
Yes. And what we saw yesterday when we went off the air and everything else. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show.
There it is.
31-3 final.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here. And with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
Last night, Chris Brockman was busy being Father of the Year. Missed out a shot that TJ Jefferson took full advantage of.
Yes, indeed.
Last night, I was honored to be asked to lead a panel, a For Your Consideration panel for the Screen Actors Guild Awards. They're going to be the nominations are going to be announced soon. The voting is going on right now for the TV show Winning Time on HBO, which you know we all love.
We love that show.
We all love. Rodney Barnes, who's an executive producer and writer of the show. The showrunner Max Borenstein was there as well.
There, yep.
Quincy Isaiah, who plays Magic Johnson.
Nice.
Finally got you two to link up. That was
and
nice.
John C. Reilly.
Yes.
Was there. And my favorite question I asked the two actors came at the end, Chris.
Okay.
Where I asked Quincy Isaiah what it was like to put on the Laker uniform and be Magic Johnson for the first time.
Okay.
And TJ, he spoke like a kid who opened up a Christmas present underneath the tree, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, did he say he has some game? He said he has game, right?
He said he's been working out at LA Fitness, so, you know, he's got a little bit of game.
Okay, yeah. So he's got
some run at LA Fitness.
Could you imagine you're at LA Fitness here in Los Angeles and Quincy Isaiah shows
right
up?
Is that Magic?
That's hilarious.
And his smile is a million watts in person as well.
He's the same guy? Is he playing himself, kind of?
Is he? Don't you think he is?
Yeah. You know, here's the funny thing he said, Brockman, though. He grew up a big Shaq fan, right?
Okay.
So Quincy, during the panel, said that his goal was always to play Shaq in a biopic.
Oh.
So he was like, but he goes, I got Magic, and that's, you know, that's cool, too. Almost like Magic Johnson's a distant second to Shaq's story. And then John C. followed that up. He goes, well, maybe when we get to Shaq in our story, you can switch from playing Magic to playing Shaq. And he was like, I don't know about that.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
Very funny. And then I asked John C. Reilly the same question about looking like Jerry Buss for the first time. You know, putting on a Jerry Buss gear.
Well,
remember that
whole scene where it's the comb over scene where what it takes to get him ready each day.
Oh my God! I think he said that the shirt, it's three buttons open.
Two buttons for business.
For business, yeah. Right? Three buttons for family, and then all six if it's just hanging out.
It's just hanging out. He also
that there's a button system depending on the scene.
I like that.
And he also
we should adopt that here.
John C. also told a story about how he met Jeannie Buss at a Laker game, and he was like, you know,
yeah, she complimented him.
He's like, did you know my dad? And he was like, no, I never met him.
He said that she told him mm-hmm. that the real Dr. Jerry Buss was a big fan of musicals and loved him personally in the movie Chicago.
He got nominated for an Oscar.
And he said he got all misty about it.
Yeah, she said because Dr. Buss said, that guy, he goes, he's someone who can make you laugh and can make you cry. And that's a sign of a good actor. And he was like, he got all.
And he said he got all,
How about that?
Especially since he thought when he showed up at Staples, he was going to get ejected.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
by the way, that's when it was Staples.
Yeah.
Way back.
Oh, back
yeah. I think this is probably the pre-crypto years.
He did say that Jeannie said, look, you know, the Lakers aren't taking part in this, but I do want you to know.
Yes, and was free and let him know.
Yeah, well, it was nice. A fun night. And They ordered, I don't know, 200, 300, 300 prime pizzas last night.
Special made, custom made Winning Time pizza boxes.
Did you guys bring any leftovers today?
He brought them.
It's in my fridge.
It's on the ping pong table. I bring it in with the popcorn maker.
I forgot it in the fridge.
Pay no mind.
Mike, we like pizza.
Pay no mind, Brockman. Both of us.
I'll bring it tomorrow.
Wow.
That's because we're anti-rich with Michigan.
It was great.
That's true.
It was great. Yeah, yeah. And it's entirely possible you might see me in a wig and a leisure suit.
Oh, yes.
It's possible.
So anyway, go to our Instagram if you want to check it out. Yeah, all of it's on our Instagram.
Might bring some more winning to Winning Time.
Hey, now.
Mina Kimes in studio, hour number two.